This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
For hundreds of years, anthropologists have studied the social relationships of human beings. And none have been more confounding than what they call the different strokes effect.
Get it?
Meet Jade Gulliver, a charmingly low-maintenance, amicable sci-fi fan and avid podcaster. And David Lim, a top model strutting, goldfish-loving, walking jukebox. So, can you handle the difference? Get ready for Different Strokes.
Because it takes different strokes to move the world. Yes, it does. It takes different strokes to move the world.
This is Different Strokes on Joy 94.9. At the top of the show, we played Nicole Scherzinger.
You can never say her name. You can never say her name, can you?
Scherzinger?
Scherzinger. Nicole Scherzinger.
Okay.
Like Zinger Burger.
I was trying to put too many...
too many syllables in there where there really wasn't calling for more syllables.
We'll go with Scherzinger.
Scherzinger. Just think Zinger Burger.
Okay.
Oh, Jade, look, speaking of Zinger Burgers and I guess food in general, mm-hmm. I was so hungry today, Jade. I'll let you know why I'm hungry, okay? Because I don't like to just obviously come to you with a problem without properly explaining it.
Yep, okay.
Now, you are one of the most punctual people I know ever. You rock up on time, and I am consistently tardy for the party.
Yep.
Okay, that's no surprise.
We have to tell Dave to arrive half an hour earlier than what we actually want Dave to arrive.
Yeah, well, I know that Jade nowadays, whenever she's having a social event, she'll fix the time. Like, there is time for everyone else to arrive, and then there's time for Dave to arrive. Mm-hmm. And I'm always, like, half an hour earlier than everyone because she knows that I'm half an hour late, and then I'm going to turn up the same time as everyone else. So she knows me well enough to make that happen. But, you know, Jade, this afternoon, Mama Lim decided to throw a little get-together for her and a friend that she's known for like 40 years. Now, her friend of 40 years, Jade, is also very punctual. Mm-hmm. Never late. In fact, sometimes 5 minutes early.
Mm-hmm.
That's acceptable, right?
Yep.
But today, this friend was 2 hours late. Jade, I was hungry.
Yeah.
I was hungry. I was waiting to eat. Because this is lunch, right?
2 hours. I mean, 2 hours is in like half an hour, 45 minutes. After that, I'm done.
Well, here's the thing. You know, I would be happy to accept under certain circumstances. If you need to be 2 hours late, you need to let me know what's going on. But there was no text. There was no phone call.
Mm-hmm.
45 minutes went by. An hour went by. And I went to Mum. I'm like, Mum, I think you need to say something. I think you need to send out a text because it's good to kind of start with a text. Don't you agree, Jade? Rather than calling someone up, acting all pressed.
Yeah.
It's good to send out a text because that's kind of like a, hey, it's like a gentle nudge.
It's like a reminder.
It's like a reminder. And that's what Mum did. You know, it was like a, hey, do you remember we have lunch today? At you know, we said meet at like 11:30 or something.
Mm-hmm.
No response, Jade. That's when we start to get worried because for a woman that's always punctual, not to respond to a text as well, it's a bit scary, okay? So then I kind of debated with Mum over what period of time is acceptable before we take it to the next level, which is putting in a call.
Yep.
So, Jade, this is what I'm kind of wondering. Like, what do you think is an acceptable time between that kind of nudge text?
Dave, I think the 2 hours is far too long. What? It is.
2 hours? You would have like, damn, I would have finished this meal all by myself.
I would have eaten lunch by now.
I had lunch.
It's getting towards not lunchtime anymore.
It's not even lunch by the time she arrived. You know, the problem was I made a decision and I told Mum, I made a decision that I was going to eat before she arrives because she was so late that I was starving, Jade. You know, I was wasting away. So I told her, okay, Mum, I'm going to go ahead and eat. And Mum's like, you better do that because I can feel you getting angrier. So I went ahead and I ate. By the time I finished, Jade, they turned up. And then they're like thinking, oh, Dave's being rude because he doesn't want to join us for lunch. What? He thinks he's all that now. He doesn't want to eat with us.
Nah, you rock up 2 hours late. It's, you know, every man for themselves.
Every man for themselves. You get whatever scraps that David Lim don't want. That's it.
Yep.
Plain as day.
Welcome to Different Strokes Online. Log in to hear Jade and Dave's perspectives on online media.
The internet should not be used as a high-tech babysitter. We need to make sure that when our kids surf the web, they don't drown.
This is Different Strokes on Joy 94.9 with Jade and Dave. Dave, your never-ending quest to find a job?
Well, never-ending kind of makes it sound like I'm perpetually unemployed, Jade. But
it's more like the dream job that you're chasing, right?
The dream job is what I'm looking for, Jade. And I feel like that dream job is not holed up at a call center somewhere. So I'm going to try extra hard now to find me that dream job in publishing, in writing. By the way, if you're hiring and listening,
yeah.
I'm so employable, you won't believe it.
I'll vouch for him.
Well, you are actually listed as my referee.
Oh, thanks, Dave. You're supposed to give people updates on that.
I do give you an update. I tell you I'm looking for work. You should know what to expect. Has anyone tried calling you? Probably not. That's just sad. But, you know, Jade, it's no secret. I'm looking for a job right mm-hmm. now. But I feel like, you know, your generic search engine kind of websites that you normally go to mm-hmm. look for work can help. But sometimes, especially if you're working in the creative or in the media industry,
mm-hmm.
it's really who you know, isn't it, Jade?
It really, really is. You get a job somewhere and you know someone type thing, and then, you know, maybe when you go for your next job, that other person knows them. And
I feel that is so clicky, especially yeah. with, you know, if you do work in PR or publicity or it's anything very, to do with the media, it's like that.
It's very hard to get your foot in the door, yes.
It is kind of hard to get your foot in the door. And sometimes it's hard to create opportunities for you to network. You know, mm-hmm. some people just naturally render themselves to the networking environment.
We've had many discussions about the awkwardness of networking.
Well, you know, this is Different Strokes. This is where camp and geek collides. And Jade has often said that she feels uncomfortable in kind of social situations where maybe there is a pressure to network. You yeah. know what I mean? And I can actually relate to that. I know I'm the louder one here,
mm-hmm.
but I can relate to that. I feel that sometimes under certain conditions, it's like, damn, Dave, you better turn it on. Go make some friends. Go ask for some business cards or something.
It's a very pressurized environment. And, you know, I'm kind of the type of person that doesn't like to talk about myself or my achievements very openly. So it can be quite...
There's got to be an art to it, Jade. Yeah. I'm telling you, there's an art to talking yourself up, but like still kind of maybe make it a little self-deprecating.
Yeah.
It's a fine line. Mm-hmm. Anyone who can do it really well, hats off to you. But basically, we're going to talk about a website called The Loop,
mm-hmm.
Which is actually kind of like an online hub for creative jobs and portfolios. So we're talking like media jobs, design jobs, you know, graphic design work, mm-hmm. writing, photography.
Anything to do with the web.
Anything to do with the web, like web design, publishing, mm-hmm. even like event management and publicity. The Loop has it, you know, as the name The Loop suggests, you know, it's kind of like being kept in a loop about what mm-hmm. jobs are happening in those said industries.
It's creating a little clique.
It's creating its own little clique.
Because don't they sort of promote themselves as like Facebook, but for professionals?
Yes, kind of. And I'll explain why, because I don't know if like with your big websites like Seeker, I'm sure you can create a profile on there and upload your resume or whatnot. But mm-hmm. this one just seems a lot more user-friendly. Like the way The Loop is designed is that you can create your own profile. You can upload a picture of yourself, like, please, preferably nothing of the MySpace nature.
Mm-hmm.
You know, have a bit of dignity.
Was that difficult for you?
No, because I've got plenty of pictures of myself, Jade, that I look... I've got plenty.
Did you do it like a specific shot? This is my job shot?
Oh, this is my job photo shoot. This is my employability face. I think I had a couple of buttons loose even, you know, like in my profile. Yeah, I was milking it. But the thing is that you can create your own profile on The Loop, you know, upload your own picture, like I said,
mm-hmm.
build your resume on there. And if you're the creative type, like say you're a graphic designer or a photographer, you can also upload your portfolio on there,
mm-hmm.
which is handy
mm-hmm.
because on the flip side of The Loop, so rather than just having profiles just for people looking for work,
mm-hmm.
you also get businesses and organizations that also have profiles there. So you can be headhunted on there as well.
Yeah.
And one thing really interesting is because it is kind of aimed at the creative mm-hmm. industry, there's always room for collaborations. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like if you're looking for a photographer, say us radio folk.
Yep.
If we're looking for like a photographer for, say, the Different Strokes 2012 calendar.
And we will be soon. So.
We're looking for a new photographer.
Yep.
You know, take us to the next level. Like make us Harper's Bazaar, please. You know, we need this upgrade.
Photoshop skills, a must.
A must. Essential.
Different Strokes flashback. Bringing pop culture back from the yesteryears.
Yes.
This is Different Strokes on Joy 94.9 with Jade and Dave. We're a little bit distracted by dancing to the retro-sounding music.
I loved it. I think that's like my favourite intro to dance to because it's got such like an... It's got the longer instrumentation at the end.
Yeah, it does.
I was doing kind of like the chicken dance, you know, my arms were going up and down.
I was
like
doing
that.
Like some sort of push-up move.
Yeah, just totally the look.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely.
Dave, I know that you're a big fan of goldfish.
Yes, and I call myself a goldfish enthusiast, yes.
You know everything about goldfish. And I was thinking about stuff that we used to have when we were kids, and I was like, sea monkeys are like the natural progression, right? Like you get the sea monkeys first, and then if you can handle it, your parents
then
get
you
the
goldfish.
Fish.
Okay.
And then I said, I thought, Dave's definitely got to have had sea monkeys. And then I said to you, Dave, you've had sea monkeys, right? And he's like, no.
No, I've never had sea monkeys. It's not something that... I don't know a lot of Malaysian kids that grew up in the 90s necessarily had sea monkeys, you know? Like, we moved to Australia in 1999 when I was 12. So, yeah, I think by the time we got to this country, sea monkeys were kind of...
They were done and dusted.
Extinct, possibly.
Well,
yeah.
They're still around today,
oh,
Dave.
Okay. But rehabilitation programs are good.
So just if you don't know what a sea monkeys is, basically what would happen is you'd get like this. Pretty much it's about 30 centimetres high, maybe a bit less, this little tank.
It's like a plastic container
usually. A plastic container. And you've got three little packets.
And they look like mie goreng sachets.
Yeah, so like, you know, that kind of spice or whatever.
Grainy.
Yeah. And you put them in a specific order and then you add water.
God, it sounds like I'm making noodles again. Jeez, yes, let's have
you
this.
You are kind of making a concoction of sorts. Anyway, then sort of, you know, 24 hours later, eggs start to hatch. And at that point, they're tiny, tiny little things.
So they start off as granules going into the water.
Mm-hmm.
But
effectively,
are you telling me the eggs?
Effectively, they're in suspended animation, right? So they're actually sea monkeys... are actually brine shrimp or a hybrid of brine shrimp. So they're a type of shrimp and they're just, their eggs, right, are in these little packets. And then you add water, they then start to, I guess, wake up or whatever the chemical combination makes them wake up. And then the first couple of days you're like, well, what's going on here? There's nothing in here. Mm. And then they've got like these little magnifying glasses and you can go, oh, yeah.
Oh, so that comes with a pack. You get a magnifying glass so you can track the progress.
And then what happens is eventually they grow and you can go, oh, yeah, they're sea monkeys. But the thing about sea monkeys is...
Do they look like monkeys?
They don't look like sea monkeys.
They look like shrimp, right?
Yeah, they're kind of shrimpy. And that's if you can even... see them a lot of times because they're these tiny little things that,
and they're clear, aren't they?
Yeah, and then you've got to feed them regularly, and then you get used to the idea of, you know, if it's too cloudy, that means you've fed them too much, you've got to wait, you know.
Oh, okay. It's kind of like, you know, basic training for having goldfish.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, cadet level goldfish keeping.
And I did a bit of research and they've actually been around for a long time. They've been around since the 60s, Dave.
The 60s. Okay. Well, I need to check with Mama Lim if she had them growing up.
My favourite fact about sea monkeys, Dave, is that someone in 1998, John Glenn, one of the astronauts from the NASA project, took them into space. To see what the effect of the sea monkeys being in space. They came back, no ill effects.
No real effects. So they survived space. Mm-hmm. They survived going up. They survived coming down.
Yep.
Sea monkeys were fine.
Yep.
Okay. I could have picked some other creature for you to test it on. Like, why shrimp? Okay.
And they're saying they'll last 2 years. So you've got 2 years to practice yourself on these sea monkeys. The thing about sea monkeys, Dave, is then they'll breed.
Oh, hold up.
Yeah.
So you can start with one sachet, but you don't necessarily need to buy more. Like they
They should multiply and breed.
They breed amongst themselves there in the tank. Okay. But, Jade, look, I'm obviously missing out on something spectacular here.
I think it's a good – look, for me, it's similar to, like, Tamagotchi, Dave, right? It's like a less high-maintenance version of Tamagotchi. It's all about training kids, right, how to be responsible enough for pets.
See, I felt like my training to have a pet was with a Tamagotchi. You know, I was such a child of the 90s. Like, that's just what it was.
But that's high-maintenance. You have to take those things to the school.
Yes, but I know, and you got to smuggle them into school. Like, I don't know if you guys have had that problem here in Australia, but you know, in Malaysia, we had to smuggle our Tamagotchis.
Yeah, it was banned because they all the beeping and stuff.
The beeping and the distraction in class, obviously, that was a problem.
I used to work with, you know, I used to work with a lady who took her kid's Tamagotchi to work with her, so she'd bring it in because the kids weren't allowed to have it at school, and you know, they didn't want it to die.
They didn't want it to die, and so they nag their parents, please look after.
Isn't that transferring responsibility? Isn't the whole point of it to be teaching them how to be responsible for their own things?
Get ready for a Different Strokes take on music.
This is Different Strokes on Joy 94.9 with Jade and Dave. Dave, that boy James tweeted us, and he said, I used to set the clock forward on my Tamagotchi so it would sleep while I was at school. Now that is someone who is smart and prepared to have a proper pet.
Now that is absolute genius. I never thought about fixing the clock. That is just, that's clever. I mean,
that boy James isn't being, you know, a burden on his parents. He's not expecting them to take. He's figuring out on his own.
Well, okay. So kudos to you, that boy James. I mean, he needs to like run some sort of summer camp.
Yep.
Teaching kids how to care for their time. I can imagine him doing that, surely. Is that role even like, you know, is it redundant? Like, do people have Tamagotchis anymore these days? Who knows?
I don't know. You're the one with the little brother.
Well, it's not cool to have Tamagotchis these days. I don't know. I think it's more like a hipster thing. Maybe people in our generation would want to revisit the Tamagotchi. Not sure if kids
taking
them
to workplaces everywhere.
Look, if I can find like a nice proper Tamagotchi that doesn't look too childish, I'll take it up again.
Yeah.
Jade, look, I'm going to review an album by an artist that I admittedly haven't played very much of on Different Strokes.
I have never heard of her.
You've never heard of Jill Scott?
Mm-hmm.
Jill Scott's basically, I mean, she is one of my favorite American neo-soul singers.
Mm-hmm.
She's not what someone I would consider to be very mainstream, which is very surprising given that her latest album, the one I'm reviewing tonight called The Light of the Sun, it actually debuted at number one in the US.
Mm-hmm.
So it's actually her first ever number one album on the, you know, the Billboard Hot 200. So it's a turning point. I feel like a lot of people
Didn't Beyonce just come out?
Yeah, Beyonce just came out. I think her album came out the week before Beyonce's.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so she was there reigning first.
Mm-hmm.
But Jill Scott is one of those artists that I admire.
Mm-hmm.
Her music is sassy, it's feminine, it's intelligent, it's poetic, and it's very empowering to listen to. She's a very intelligent woman, first of all. So I really appreciate, you know, kind of thinking people's music, you know, with lyrics that are emotive and soulful.
Mm-hmm.
Every now and then I like to have a boogie to, like, I don't know, Nicole Scherzinger.
Well, you did play that at the start of the show.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, exactly.
You're trying to balance it all out now, aren't you?
I'm trying to give it a bit of soul. I'm trying to give Different Strokes a bit of soul. So basically, every now and then I do have my guilty pop pleasures, but I still really like a good soul album. And The Light of the Sun is just that. It's her fourth studio album, so I feel like it's a long time coming.
Mm-hmm.
It's a long time coming for her to get to this point where now, damn, she can just debut straight at number one. But the funny thing is, Jade, this is also her first album on a major label.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of feel that maybe there's a lot more financial backing this time around.
She's getting more radio play.
She's probably getting more radio play. She's definitely getting more promotion happening because, you know, she's got the backing of a major label. But in terms of stylistically, I think this album is giving, you know, us Jill Scott fans what we always wanted. You know, it's still got the same kind of spoken sung phrasing. She's very much known for that, the kind of spoken sung phrasing, and it's very smooth. And she also has the really brassy and really sassy tracks. Like, she did a song a few years ago called Hate on Me, which Glee covered.
Ah, yes.
We're talking early Glee, you know, probably like the first few episodes.
Now that you say that title, I've actually heard it.
Yeah, so that's a Jill Scott song. Mm-hmm. So she's had occasional moments where she's crossed into the mainstream, but, you know, never to this extent where, you know, hey, number one album.
Mm-hmm.
On this album, I was kind of looking for maybe another track like Hate On Me, but the only one that sounded remotely close to that kind of sass is a track called Shame,
mm-hmm.
which I'm going to play later. It features Eve. It's a cool, fun, sassy track.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I really like her kind of more soft-spoken, smooth tracks as well. Like songs like La Boom Vent Suite, which is a 9-minute song. It's basically her talking about a guy who doesn't call her back, and she's just like...
She's got a lot to say in 9 minutes.
That's the thing that's really interesting about Jill Scott. Like, I read that in a lot of the songs mm-hmm. for this album, she just went in, no lyrics, nothing, just jammed with the musicians and... You know, basically hit record, jam, see what comes out, you know, really get in the zone and mm-hmm. just make it up as you go. And they end up being tracks on the album, obviously edited down to some extent.
Yep.
But I like that. I like that organic feel.
I wonder how long originally the 9-minute song was.
Who knows? It could have been like a half hour session.
It was a bit of a rant.
Yeah, it might have been a bit
of a
rant.
They were all just like, oh, Jill, we've heard it
all. Oh, Jill, come on. I mean, I got to take a Milo break. I got to go pick up my child from school.
I'm running 2 hours late for lunch with David Lim.
Yes. Thanks, Jill Scott. You know, you're the one who's keeping my, you know, lunch guest. That's what's happening. Craig has also texted in saying that he loves Jill Scott in the number one ladies detective agency. Apparently, Jill Scott has been doing some film projects or some TV projects. So there you go. Her sassiness comes on screen as well. Cool. I don't know why I felt the need to sing that.
And you haven't been tempted to watch that show, Dave, because you are, you know, a bit low on your TV.
I am a bit low on my TV, but, you know, it's just like... Here's the deal, guys. I mean, on Friday night, I spent the night at Jade's. Ooh.
Yeah. And like that, too. It was like that.
It was like that. I spent the night at Jade's, and she has cable TV, and I'm just like, wow, look at all these shows. You can record that? Wow. You know, I felt like I came out of the dark ages a little.
We did spend a lot of time watching reality shows, which I never watch reality shows.
I know. I got you to watch Project Runway Australia, which, yeah. Well, Danny Minogue, friend of Different Strokes, was we're always going to say Danny Minogue, friend of different strokes, aren't we? Yeah. We're always going to say that just because, you know, we got the interview for our show. And thanks to people at Joy who actually think David Lim can interview, is worthy of interviewing a Minogue. So that happened once in history.
Yeah.
But, you know, I thought you and I had a great bonding experience of a Project Runway, and
mm-hmm.
we need to take that enthusiasm, Jade, and transfer it to like RuPaul's Drag Race.
Look, Dave, you did bring over some RuPaul Drag Race and I kind of avoided it.
Look, season 3 is the best and I will make you watch it.
Look, you said that about the Michelle Williams episode and to be honest, I barely got through that episode without losing my mind.
It was that good.
It was that bad.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.